Morning, everybody. I've called my testimony this morning my journey, because that's what it's been, a journey. And it started when I was a baby of about 6 months old. Don't worry, I'm not going to go right through the 81 years. But I was brought to live with a wonderful couple who lived just round the corner from this church, God's Plan. They had me for a few years, and then they decided to adopt me. I never knew anything about this, by the way. And eventually, they also decided that I should come to this church and that I should be christened, as it was called then. I only found out later on in life, when I was about to become a church member, from my darling Auntie Annie Twist, and she remembered this story of me walking forward as a child. So I must have been about 4 years old, I think, when I was actually christened. And then, of course, Mum and Dad thought it was a good idea if I came to Sunday school as well. So that started my journey. So I came to Sunday school, joined in everything that went on, sermons, walking round with the bread that the lads ate on the way round, and Mum used to come along as well on those occasions, because Mum and Dad didn't come to church apart from on high days and holidays, but Mum always used to come if I was on show, as they do, you know. And during those formative years, I learned all about Jesus. I learned about how wonderful he was, how he loved little children, the miracles he performed, making water into wine and walking on water. And I was absolutely amazed by it all. But it didn't resonate as a person, because I was too young, really. And I did hear something about that he died on the cross. It sounded a bit gory to me, that, which it was, of course. Anyway, eventually, I reached the age of 12. And something really dramatic happened to me when I was 12 years old. I discovered, you used to go rummaging through the drawers and looking at old photographs and stuff. And I found this document. And I unravelled it and looked at it. And it said on the document, certificate of adoption. And I looked, and there were names on there that I had never heard of before, didn't know anything about these people, who they were. And it transpires that these were my biological parents. You can imagine, as a child of 12, I was absolutely distraught. I didn't know what to make of it at all, but really shocked. And I went to Mum and showed her and said, what is it? What is it about? And she was horrified that I'd found this document. And she said, oh, don't worry about it. And then, of course, she had to tell Dad. And Dad was furious because he blamed Mum for leaving things lying around. And there was a big row in the family. It was really a traumatic time for us all. And anyway, and they never, ever explained to me about this document and what it meant or anything, ever. When Mum died eventually and I was looking through her things, I never found the document ever again. So I assumed that it had probably been thrown on the fire, because they didn't... I don't think they knew what to say, really. They didn't know how to explain it to me. And I didn't know what to make it. Anyway, I had a favourite auntie, my dad's sister, and she decided that I needed to know the background. She knew all about it, of course. So she explained to me what had happened. And she said, you don't need to worry about it. She said, you've had loving parents for all these 12 years who've looked after you and cared for you. And you don't need to worry about it. And just remember this, and I'd always remember this, they chose you. And that's just, I always think about the Lord chose me. And he of course, I was thought about, should I find these people and find out what they were like, or, you know, it's a natural thing to, you know. And then I thought, no, I don't need to do that. I've got my loving parents, and that's all I need to know. I don't need to know anymore. So I left it at that. So subsequently, 2 years on, see, I'm galloping along, I'm sorry about this, Andy. 2 years on, we used to have meetings here once a month on a Saturday evening. We used to call them Bright Hours. And, of course, I used to come to all these as well. And on this particular occasion, we had a visit from three young men. And they were Americans. And they were based at Burtonwood Air Base. Some of you will remember its existence. And they were based there. And they'd given their lives to Jesus. It must have been very difficult in the situation that they were in, being part of the armed services. But they decided that while they were over here and away from home, they should take the message of Jesus and what he'd done for them out into the community. So they told the story of how they'd given their lives to him and what it meant and what he'd done for each and every one of them. And that absolutely thrilled me. It was the first time I'd thought about it, really, that Jesus' death on the cross applied to me. It was a personal thing. And so on that night, I accepted Jesus as my saviour. And I remember going home, just round the corner, and bursting into the house, and immediately, because I was absolutely thrilled with it all and really, you know, on a high, if you like. And I burst into the house and said, "Guess what's happened to me tonight?" And so I said what had happened and all about it. And my mother was totally bemused. She didn't know what to make of it at all, because she believed in God, but God was somewhere up in the heavens, and, you know, and he did look after people and so on. But this personal action of Christ dying for us, she just didn't get it at all at first. But Dad did. Dad was thoughtful, and he thought about it quite a bit. And eventually, he started to come to church. He, during the last several years after that, I was got involved quite a bit in what was going on, and I tried to tell people about Jesus and so on and so forth. And eventually, a couple of years later, I got involved. I started a relationship, if you like, with a young man. I'm 16 by then. And he started to come to church as well. Didn't know whether to mention this part or not, but it was very traumatic in my life. And for a while, I thought it was going to be last forever, as you do at that age. Not in God's plan. And eventually, the relationship came to an end. And he started a relationship with someone else who came to this church. I found that very traumatic, because I was devastated, if you like, at the breakup of this relationship. And to see them together week after week was very, very painful to me. And so, sadly, I stopped coming to church. And I didn't come to church for quite a while. And then, a few years after that, I met my beloved, love of my life, my husband John. And we got married in this church. And we carried on from there. We had the usual traumas. We had our beloved son, Jonathan, and my mother was absolutely over the moon at having the first grandchild. So much so, I must tell you this story because it's dead funny. She went into Lee, and she was coming to see me at I was in Furs maternity home, and she was coming to see me and see the baby, and she decided she needed a new hat. Go figure. She needed a new hat, so she went in this shop to try on a hat and fainted away on the floor. Honestly, it's true. But she was absolute. She adored him, and he, as he grew up, he adored her as well. And eventually, my dad's health began to deteriorate, and eventually he died. And a few years later, my mother contracted cancer, and she died. And I can remember she lived next door to me at the time. And I can remember going in the house after she died, and Jonathan came with me, and he came into the house, and I can just see him now, it's so upsetting really. And he said, "Where's my Nana?" And we both sat on the settee and we sobbed our hearts out together. As time went on, health deteriorated as well. He was very sick, and he was in hospital for several periods of time. And the last time he was in hospital, he died. And I thought that this was the end of everything. It was the end of my life, I felt, at that time. And I can remember just after his funeral, I was still not working, and I can remember walking down the street and thinking, everybody's carrying on as normal. It's all, they're going to the jobs and taking the children to school and so on and so forth. Why do I feel that it's all ended for me? Which is, I was in despair at that time. And anyway, eventually I went to see the doc, and he gave me some antidepressants. Now, I'm not knocking antidepressants. I'm sure they work for some people. But I started taking these things and I was like a zombie. And I thought, I sat down and I thought, I can't carry on like this. It's not helping. It's not going away. So I'm going to stop taking these. And I'm not, you know, I've got to come to terms with what's going on. I returned to work, and which I'd always loved, my work. So I returned to work, and I just, it just didn't mean anything to me anymore. I was in that state of mind. So eventually I was offered early retirement, so I decided to take it. So coming home on the bus, I thought, and what the preacher said last week, he said, "What's next? What happens now?" And I thought, "What will I be able to make ends meet if I haven't got my salary coming in every month?" And all this was going through my head, and I thought, "What will I do?" Everything was fine. Lord undertakes, and eventually I thought, "Oh, what?" I heard God's voice saying to me, "Look, you need to go home. You need to go back to your family, your church family." And I thought, yeah, I do. But it wasn't easy. Believe you me, it wasn't easy. Because I thought, well, I know what I'll do. Because we used to have coffee mornings then on a Thursday morning. So I thought, I know. I'll go to the coffee morning because it might be a bit easier. It was quite traumatic. I had to work up the courage to go. And I know it's laughable now, but I can remember thinking, what if I go in, what if they're a bit frosty with me? What if they don't? What was I thinking about? That's ridiculous. And so anyway, I came through that door into the schoolroom, and these faces all looked up at me, and I could see that, and I thought, what are they going to do? And I was welcomed home. I felt like the prodigal son, because I was welcomed home as though I'd never been away. Of course, what else would I expect? And when I got home later that day, I thought, I think there were people in that room who looked up at me and thought, thank you, Lord, for an answer to prayer. Because I knew all along that people had been praying for me. I felt that. And that was the start of my coming back to the Lord. And of course, as years have gone by, I've gradually got more involved with everything, and it's been a long journey. But the Lord has been with me all of the way. Now, God doesn't promise that we're going to have an easy ride. He doesn't promise that we're not going to have trials and troubles and things that happen to us. Of course he doesn't. But what he does promise, and I still hang on to that, that he's going to be with us every step of the way. And he has been with me. And I praise him for that. He's always been there. And one thing I've learned latterly in these last few years, actually, is God's plans are perfect. So what happens, and I'm sure we all do it on occasion, I pray about something, and then afterwards I'm thinking, right, how can I do that? I'm working out the plan, and I think, no, bad idea. My plans are rubbish. They are. They're rubbish. But God's plans are perfect. So I should pray for something, and I should leave it with him. And I always remember Christine's mother saying this one Thursday morning, and everybody was saying, we were talking about praying, and we said, how do you cope? She said, how do I cope? She said, because she had lots of traumas in her lives, bless her. And she said, I pray for it, and then I leave it to him. I don't worry about it then. And I've always remembered that. It drifts away sometimes and I forget, but I always remember that. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to thank all of you who supported me down through the years. Some of you, and you know who you are, have been there more or less from the beginning. And that's a long time. Bless you. And some of you I've met later on in life. And you've blessed me too, and I thank you for that, for you, all your support through the years. And I thank you for those who I've met quite recently, and I bless you too, because you have blessed me in turn, and I thank you so much for that. So, I'm sorry, Andy, but what I'd like to do now, to finish with, I'd like to say, thank you, and may God bless you all. And I love you all. And I'd like to finish while we sing one of my very favourite hymns, Take My Life and Let It Be. And I pray that that resonates with each one of us this morning. And I thank you so much for listening. I got all nervy, and in case I forgot anything, because it's been a long life. But thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. And thank you.